Father, what we know not, please teach us. What we have not, please give us. And what we are not, please make us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please do take a seat. So personally, I really appreciate Mothering Sunday. I can't be down on the south coast this morning with my own mother for obvious reasons. But I do remember her. So I remember times when I was a little boy on a school day, and she'd walk into the room and she'd open the curtains and allow the light to shine on my face and gently wake me up. And she'd come and stroke me on the forehead until I began. What a brilliant way to begin a school day. And then she'd help me patiently and firmly as I struggled against her every desire to get me into one of those really stuffy, sweaty, tight-collared school shirts. And she did that again and again, sometimes without any help if my dad was away at work. And then a few years later, I remember one particular time where she'd come back from a full day's work. She was pretty tired, and I chose that moment to open up to her about a secret that I'd been holding on to for several years that I was really ashamed of. And I remember how gentle she was, how reassuring she was, and how relieved I felt. A few years after that, I remember when she saw me off into the world, or at least to university. And I remember standing by our red-bricked drive wall, and she must have been pretty scared, but she reflected back to me my excitement, and she waved me off with a smile. And nobody else will remember those things apart from her and me, but I do remember them, and I appreciate them, I'm grateful for them. And I think that it makes sense that we do have a day in the calendar where we can publicly thank mothers for the things that they do in private that so often go unseen and unthanked. But we've mentioned already, for some, Mothering Sunday is a harder day. Lizzie Lowry is a vicar's wife who you'd expect to normally be in church. But she writes in Premier Magazine about the experience that she had after suffering time and time again tragic miscarriages. And she writes this: "Every year, those grieving the loss of a mother, those living through the struggle of infertility, those who are single and long to be married with a family, and those who are hurt by their mothers, won't be at church on Mothering Sunday. Or, of course, they will be in church, including this one today, but maybe feeling unrecognized and perhaps uncomfortable." Lizzie warns us against pressing into the joy of this day without also acknowledging the grief. And I think she's right about that. But whatever we're feeling about Mothering Sunday, Jesus has something to say to us. For a few brief minutes during his crucifixion, Jesus turned to his own mother and turned to one of his disciples in John 19, page 6 of our order of service. And he speaks words of example and encouragement there. And as we listen to those words this morning, we're going to see that at the cross, Jesus cared for his mother, cutting through all of the ambiguity and cultural confusion that we experience about motherhood, and showing us how we can care for our mothers. But we'll also see that at the cross, Jesus creates a new family, assuring every believer, including those who struggle with Mothering Sunday, that we have a valued place in the family of faith, the family of the church, a family where all of us can and do give and receive care and honor. So first, at the cross, Jesus cared for his mother. It's hard to imagine that scene. In the middle of the horror of the cross, nailed hands and feet, bleeding back against rough wood, we have this moment of tenderness that stands out because it's so unusual. So verse 25, Jesus' mother with three other women come close to the cross, probably only for a minute. They wouldn't have been able to withstand it for much. And Mary wants to see the son that she's given birth to one last time. And Jesus looks up in verse 26, he sees his mother standing there along with the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is later revealed to be John, the writer of the gospel account. And Jesus opens his mouth and he starts to speak to his mother. And I think we need to appreciate just for a moment how much that would have cost him. So right now, we're breathing every few seconds without even noticing it. Author Fleming Rutledge, she describes how hard it was to even breathe while being crucified. You couldn't do it without trying. She says, and I quote, "The only way to gain a breath at all would be to push oneself up from the legs and feet or pull oneself up by the arms, either of which would cause intense agony." And yet Jesus, filled with compassion and appreciation for his mother, summons up all of his strength. He pushes through that pain, and he not only breathes, but he gets his words out. And he, looking between his mother and that disciple, he says to Mary, verse 26, "Woman, here is your son." And to his disciple John, "Here is your mother." Despite his agony, Jesus uses those final moments to acknowledge and honor his mother and to make sure that she's provided for. It's an act of beauty against a backdrop of total brutality. And from that time on, verse 27, the disciple does take Jesus' mother into his home. Now look, in some ways, Mary's experience of motherhood was pretty unique. Nobody else has been created and chosen for the job by their child, if we can get our head around that for a moment. But in other ways, her experience of being a mother was totally ordinary. So she self-sacrificially cared for a dependent Jesus in ways that would have restricted her freedom every day. And she nurtured Jesus. She fed him. She'd have clothed him. She would have taught him. And in the end, she'd have launched him out into the world, just like every mother does, with some fear and trepidation. I think here's the thing. When Jesus cares for his mother in his final moments, as the perfect child, he's giving us a perfect picture of how we can care for the mothers that we know who've done the same sort of thing for us that Mary did for him. For example, by placing Mary in John's household, Jesus provided her with a web of supportive relationships. Now, according to Age UK, there are today in the UK around 1 million people over the age of 75 who will go for at least a month without ever speaking to a family member or a friend on a regular basis. 1 million people, many of them mothers. Their web of support has totally broken down. Many of us, and I include myself in this, if we've moved away for work to the city, we're living quite far away from our mothers if we're younger. Will we take an interest, if we're in that position, in the web of supporting relationships that our mothers have? Will we, and I'm speaking to myself here as well as a son who could do a lot better, will we commit to speaking to our mothers regularly, even frequently? Will we make sure that we visit them even when we're busy? Will we make sure, as far as it's possible, that they have a web of relationships that supports them as long as it's possible for them to do so? But when Jesus used his final moments to speak to and for his mother, he also acknowledged and honoured her for all she'd done for him. So today I want to suggest that kind of honour, that kind of appreciation is greatly needed for mothers everywhere. Commentator Mary Harrington notes that in our culture, which again prizes freedom from restraint, there's near universal public messaging that valorizes any other life choice a woman cares to make other than being a mother. And you've probably noticed in the last few days since the budget that in our national conversation, there can sometimes be so much focus on generating economic productivity and bringing in bigger tax revenues, that anything that doesn't directly contribute to the economy, including the unpaid care of children, which is done by many people, but the majority of which is done by mothers, a lot of that gets undervalued. Now, I'm not saying a few things. I'm not saying that mothers should only be valued because they're mothers. And I'm not saying that child caring is only something for mothers. I'm not saying any of those things. But the attention that Jesus gives his mother during the final moments on the cross, it does suggest that mothers deserve attention and respect for all that they do. That the time they spend nurturing and caring for their children, whether that's while they're at home or working full-time or part-time, the time they spend caring for their children, it's not just an impediment creating some sort of motherhood penalty. It's actually a natural vocation that it's good to honour and value. So if you're a mother here today, especially if you have younger children or teenage children, if sometimes between the nappies or the school runs or the late night conversations, you can feel underappreciated and unnoticed and like this is just a huge amount of hard work, please consider Jesus' care for his mother for a moment. He took time to notice her at the worst of times. And he notices what you do. Your nurture of the next generation is prized by God, and it's precious to us, and what you do as a mother matters. And if you're not a mother, you might be surprised how much your words of encouragement can do. So there's one member of our congregation here who he takes every opportunity he can to encourage one particular mother here whenever he sees her juggling all the things of life. He probably doesn't think it's much of anything at all. You know, it's just that what you do is so important, but it makes a world of difference to that mother. Let's take those opportunities to encourage the mothers that we know here. Because at the cross, Jesus cared for his mother, he provided for her, but he also appreciated her. But in that moment at the cross, there are actually some clues that Jesus is doing something even bigger than that. That he's not just caring for his mother, but he's also creating a new family. A family of disciples where every person could find an honoured place as a mother or a son, or indeed as a father or a daughter. Because notice, it's a little strange. When Jesus addresses Mary in verse 26, he doesn't say, "Mother, here is your son." That's what we'd expect him to say. What he says is, "Woman, here is your son." And that word, "woman," sounds a bit rude in English. It wouldn't have been rude in the original language at Jesus' time, but it does imply a polite distancing. So Jesus is caring for her as his mother, but he's addressing her the way he'd address any female disciple. And then he's placing her in a mutual relationship with another disciple, creating a family of disciples at the foot of his cross that kind of breaks the boundaries of ordinary family life. Jesus is hinting, and many commentators agree, that through his death, he's going to create a new family. Not a family of flesh, but a family of faith. A family that meets at the foot of the cross, trusting that Jesus died for them to make them children of his Father, and then finding that through their common tie to Jesus, they're tied to each other as well. And just as Jesus created that new discipleship household for Mary and for John, he's also created that new discipleship household for us, if we're Christians today. So I was going to dare you to have a look around the pews for a moment, but that's a scary thing to do, maybe just from the corner of our eyes. Jesus, in a sense, is saying to us, here is your mother. Here is your son. Here are your brothers and your sisters and your fathers and your daughters. He's not replacing the family of our birth or the family of our marriage. He's giving us another family to help us, particularly in the journey of discipleship, a journey that can sometimes feel very lonely. And that's good news for all of us, whatever our family situation. And it's good news for any of us who find Mothering Sunday difficult. Maybe you're a Christian who wasn't loved well by your mother. Some of us here are likely to have experienced that. If that's you, our culture can offer you empathy, perhaps even therapy, but it can't offer anything else. But Christ, through his cross, gives you a whole new family. At its head is a heavenly Father who will never let you down and never let you go. At its center is a brother, Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you and who loves you the same today. And through Jesus, you're part of this rich tapestry of relationships, including, if we're younger, older Christians, people who can be like mother and father figures to us. So perhaps what we do is we find one or two of those older believers, either older in age or older in the faith, who we'd like to be like, and we spend time with them. We seek their counsel and their wisdom. We care for them in return. And if we've been unable to have children, and that hurts, but we feel that we've got plenty of motherly love to give, well, alongside comfort, Jesus says, you have a place of honor here. And there are so many in my family who will value and do value your nurture and your care. I know of a Christian woman who lives down on the South Coast. She's never been married. She's never had children, but she opens her home up regularly to young Christian women, usually when they're at a stage in life where they're just not quite sure what to do. And she provides them with a quiet space, with companionship, if they want to, a listening ear and a bit of advice. And she is, in some sense, like a mother figure to those women. And I know that so many women, including my own wife here, has been deeply blessed by her. You don't have to be a mother to show a mother's love. And when you invest your love and your care in fellow Christians, spend time with one or two younger people, encourage them, take an interest in them, as Mary did with John, no doubt, when they got home, Jesus will love to see it, and Jesus' family will love to honor it. Because whoever we are, whatever our family situation, however we feel about Mothering Sunday at the cross, we'll find not only the gift of eternal life, but we'll find today and every day the gift of spiritual mothers and fathers, spiritual brothers and sisters and sons and daughters here on earth too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in his agony at the cross, Jesus cared for his mother and created a new family. We thank you that through trust in his death on the cross, any can enter that family. And we pray that you would help us to care for our mothers and all mothers, to provide for them and to honor them for all they do, often unseen. And we pray that you would help us to be like mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, and brothers and sisters to each other on this day and on every day. In Jesus' name, amen.